I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the Jesuit agenda at the FBI. Of course, the FBI has been front and center now with all of the, the controversy with the FBI Director Mueller and his investigation into the alleged Russia collusion with President Trump and his administration, etc. And people are arguing that this is really much ado about nothing and that the FBI is wasting the time and the taxpayer dollars of the American people. While that's what's going on, in the mainstream news, there's a very interesting story that has been posted now on Front Page Mag. Front Page Mag has a story. The headline says, quote, FBI takes on Islamophobia. FBI takes on Islamophobia. And the story goes on to talk about a program that is now being carried out inside the FBI, that the FBI is confronting the whole concept of Islamophobia. They're not, apparently at this point, really focused on trying to spot terrorists, people who are involved in Islamic terrorism or who are planning or plotting and this kind of thing. Maybe they are at some level, but according to this article, the impression that we are given is that their main concern is to combat Islamophobia. Now, here's where there appears to be a connection to the Jesuits at Georgetown University. The article says, quote, two Michigan residents attended a quarterly Bridges, quote-unquote Bridges meeting hosted by the Detroit office of the FBI recently that left them stunned by the blatant Islamist infiltration of the Bureau. And it goes on, it says, quote, Bridges, that's what the program is called. It's called Bridges. Bridges is an FBI outreach program whose roots can be traced back to the initial years following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The acronym stands for Building Respect in Diverse Groups to Enhance Sensitivity and involves FBI-hosted workshops for law enforcement and various immigrant communities. And it goes on, it says these workshops have been held in different parts of the country, Boston, Detroit, New York, Chicago, Houston, Minneapolis, St. Paul, etc. Okay. Then it says Bridges, quote, brings together members of diverse communities and state, local, and federal law enforcement agencies to discuss issues and concerns within their communities. Then if you keep reading the article goes on to say that really the main focus of this Bridges movement is really to get rid of Islamophobia, so-called Islamophobia. Now, it seems almost identical to the program at Georgetown University, which is called the Bridge Initiative. And they use that word bridge again. Remember, there's a reason why, brethren, we named our last film Bridge to Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, Rome. Rome has been seen by the reformers for hundreds of years and by Christians even prior to the Reformation. Believe Rome was the great harlot, was and is the great harlot of Revelation 17. And the Bridge to Babylon is a pathway back to Rome, back to Romish supremacy. And it would appear, based upon what the Jesuits have been doing since the end of World War II, that using Islam as a weapon to take down historic Christian countries or to undermine them. And how far this is going to go is hard to tell. But it seems very clear that the left-wing Marxists, whether they're socialists, communists, social justice warriors, whatever you want to call them, they and your Islamic jihadi type activists are working together. There's no question about that. And so now to have the FBI, that the FBI's focus is to try and overcome Islamophobia. It's exactly the same thing that the Jesuits are doing at Georgetown University. There's no objective thinking at Georgetown with the Bridge Initiative. We did a show on this before, and I played some of the audio from their Bridge Initiative commercial, which I recommend to anybody who wants to learn more about this movement. In fact, if you just type in the Bridge Initiative Georgetown, then you'll see links to it there on Google. You click on the link for the Bridge Initiative, and the first thing you're greeted by is the word Islamophobia. That's the first thing that you're greeted by. The word Islamophobia is the very first thing that comes up. Then you can go read about it. The Bridge Initiative, about us, it says, quote, based in Georgetown University's Prince Al-Walid bin Talal Center for Muslim Christian Understanding, the Bridge Initiative is a multi-year research project that connects the academic study of Islamophobia with the public square. Period. That's it. This is this, and then it says this pioneering crossover initiative brings together celebrated faculty, subject matter experts, and seasoned researchers to examine attitudes and behaviors towards Muslims, dissect public discourses on Islam, and uncover the operational mechanisms of engineered Islamophobia. I mean, that's all it's about. The entire thing is about confronting the issue of so-called Islamophobia. Okay. And that their whole, it says later on, if you keep reading, it says, quote, in recent decades, anti-Islam and anti-Muslim bigotry and discrimination has increased exponentially in the United States and Europe. Pseudo-scholars and polemicists peddle their writing online, are viewed by many as credible and reliable voices, and therefore strongly impact popular culture. The emergence of a well-funded, organized Islamophobic network has spawned websites and false narratives on the internet. And then it goes on, okay? And so, of course, well-funded, organized Islamophobic network, not like Georgetown University, the Jesuits were getting millions of dollars a year from Saudi Arabia to promote the Bridge Initiative, to promote pro-Islamic propaganda. I'm still looking to see if they mention, I still haven't found it yet, any mention of the fact that in Saudi Arabia, they still have hundreds of thousands of slaves there, that they're on record for selling castrated black men as slaves on the internet down in Saudi Arabia, or the fact that the Muslims across Africa own millions and millions of slaves in Africa, but there's no mention of any of this. While they're trying to condition everybody and brainwash them, to believe that anything negative they read about Islam is somehow or other a mistake, or it's just propaganda, or people just don't know what they're talking about. That is the continual narrative. Now, what's very disturbing about this is going back to the article on Front Page Mag, talking about how the pro Islamic movement goes all the way back to the initial years following, and this is the quote, can be traced back to the initial years following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. So shortly after 9/11, and I still remember that Bush, George W. Bush, was still very pro-Islam after 9/11. He was very pro-Islam, and he would make appearances at mosques and this kind of thing. And he gives the interview with Charlie Gibson where he says that he believes that both Christianity and Islam are different routes to finding God. That really stunned a number of pastors and evangelical Christians who thought that Bush was a very traditional evangelical Christian. And they realize, no, he actually believes this New Age lie about how there's many paths to finding God, and that somehow or other all religions are one and the same. Well, I should say that's what Bush appeared to believe. But what I remember him saying, and you can go online and find the interview, it's there. What I remember him saying is specifically that he believed Christianity and Islam were both different routes to finding God. So that was his view. All right, now this article here on Front Page Mag goes on to talk about the FBI's point person, who is a young female Muslim who wears the head covering and so on, named Bushra Alawi, and she is called a community outreach specialist. It goes on, the article says, quote, Alawi, this agent, admitted in the WXYZ interview, she gave an interview with a TV station called WXYZ, in the interview that, quote, her real mission at the FBI is not to ferret out tips and information useful in the apprehension of terrorists, but rather it is to combat Islamophobia. That's her job, apparently, to combat Islamophobia. And it goes on to say that just happens to be the same exact mission of the Muslim Brotherhood Offshoot Council on American Relations, CARE, which has an entire division called the Department to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia. I mean, it's really incredible. You've got the FBI, you've got CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood Offshoot Organization, the FBI, CARE, and the Jesuits at Georgetown all working, and their focus is to try and dispel so-called Islamophobia, to change people's opinion about Islam. Somehow or other, trying to systematically brainwash or indoctrinate people to believe something about Islam other than what you can find reported all around the world about what Muslims are doing, tearing down churches, gang raping women, cutting people's heads off, all of these atrocities that are being committed. I mean, they're selling slaves right now, that's been reported. But, and of course, all of this is in accordance with the official teachings of Muhammad and the Islamic religion. All of this is according to the teachings of Islam. And yet there's this ongoing denial through the media and through our institutions of learning, and now apparently over the FBI. The FBI is getting involved, and we're probably going to have to talk about it after the break, but the way the FBI is getting involved, it appears that the objective is to turn, eventually, the concept of Islamophobia into a punishable offense. Into a punishable offense for somebody to be Islamophobic. And we've already talked about how they're moving in that direction in Canada with their M103 and so on. And it should be interesting to see what happens there. There was even another story here on Jihad Watch talking about the Beltway snipers. The Beltway snipers. And you had those two guys all the way back in 2002 or thereabout, who were driving around to different states, and they had shot people randomly, and they'd killed about 17 people. Well, what the media didn't tell us back then is that these guys were Muslims, and they were actually carrying out terror attacks. There's a link to an article by Michelle Malkin where she says, she talks about one of the killers, Malvo, and she says, quote, Malvo's violent drawings and anti-American, anti-Semitic rantings show him to be every bit as bloodthirsty, hate-mongering, and martyr-craving as any September 11 hijacker or Palestinian suicide bomber. Among Malvo's jailhouse artwork, a self-portrait of Malvo in the crosshairs of a gun shouting Allah Akbar. Okay, and then it goes on from there. But it seems very clear these guys were Muslims carrying out terror attacks in the United States. All right. Let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Labs presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. And we are talking about this FBI program called Bridges, which seems to parallel the Jesuits' Bridge Initiative over at Georgetown University. Really a one-sided argument that Islam is nothing but something positive, and anybody who thinks otherwise is misinformed. There's no objective conversation that goes on. There's no back and forth. There's none of that. It is entirely, well, you are wrong. You have a wrong understanding of Islam, and we are here to dispel your Islamophobia. That's the idea. But here's where this article here on Front Page Mag gets very, very interesting. This is from Philip Haney. There's a quote from Philip Haney, a former Armed Customs and Border Protection officer. And he talks about this Muslim, female Muslim, who has been appointed there with the FBI. And he says, quote, "She wouldn't have been given that platform under the old rules," Haney said of Alawi. "These concessions to Islam have been developing for a long time." Haney said the campaign to sanitize Islam began right after 9/11 and was international in scope. Since at least 2005, combating Islamophobia on a global basis has been the top priority of the United Nations and the Muslim Brotherhood-dominated Organization of Islamic Cooperation, also called the OIC. And this is a 57-nation group. It's the 57-nation group of Muslim-majority nations, which happens to make up the largest voting bloc at the United Nations. Now, this article goes on to say, quote, "The OIC adopted its 10-year strategic action plan to overcome Islamophobia in 2005, calling for nations to pass new laws, including deterrent punishments for those guilty of Islamophobia." So this is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. These are the Muslim countries, basically, that are calling for the countries of the world, through the United Nations, to pass laws that will include deterrent punishments. I assume that means punishments that will deter people from being guilty of Islamophobia, which would mean punishing people who speak out against Islam. Remember, in Canada, the way that they have defined Islamophobia now is anyone who has a negative opinion of Islam or Islamic politics. If you have a negative opinion, you are guilty of Islamophobia. Folks, this is the doorway to Sharia law. That's what this is, because that's where Sharia begins. It begins with pronouncing Islam as the highest belief system. And anybody who insults Islam must be punished. I mean, this is unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. Now, what's also incredible is that while this is going on over at the FBI, you also have the story on Jihad Watch. And Jihad Watch has a story, quote, FBI confirms existence of jihad training camps in rural America. This is January 31st, 2018. That's the date for the story. Now, this is almost like saying, you know, did you hear the Beatles broke up or something like that? The existence of jihadi training camps in rural America, this goes back to Steve Emerson and his film Jihad in America. You watch that documentary if you haven't seen it, and if you've done any study, if you have any interest in studying Islam in the United States, you have to watch Jihad in America. That's an essential piece of work, because this is pre-9/11. He's showing you before the big attack in New York happened. He's showing you what was going on in the country, across the country, and all of these groups in rural towns, in small town USA. And they would have rallies and all this other kind of stuff. It was really just the beginnings of what is progressing and getting worse and worse. And if the next president, after President Trump leaves office, if the next president is a Democrat, and it could very well be, they will probably try to ramp up Islamic immigration into the country, just like what Hillary wanted to do, to increase it by 500%. So that's the headline. So it says, quote, for years, the existence of these camps has been dismissed as right-wing hysteria. But now, even today's clueless and compromised FBI is confirming it. So they're officially admitting. And the one probably the most famous of them is called Islamburg. Islamburg headquarters in upstate New York is its most well-known Islamic village. But people have known about these for years. You can find videos online. There are independent documentaries. I think even Sean Hannity did a series of stories on this that talk about it. And it's just incredible that in spite of these things, we have groups in the media, we have groups in our schools, colleges, and universities, and now in the FBI, who have the audacity to try and brainwash the American people outright. And now it appears that there's a program through the United Nations to try and look for ways to punish people who would speak out against Islam, that anybody who has a negative view is somehow or other Islamophobic, and that we need laws to go after people who are guilty of so-called Islamophobia. And there's no question, these are the old powers of Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, the old Ottoman Empire and the old Holy Roman Empire and the Inquisition at work on American soil. Now, speaking of old Europe, though, maybe we can end the program today on perhaps a positive note, because there is an encouraging story out there, praise the Lord. And this is on Breitbart, and this is about the new Prime Minister of Poland. The new Prime Minister of Poland, whose name is Mateusz Morawiecki. Mateusz Morawiecki. And I think I'm saying that right. I looked it up, listened to it. It's challenging to pronounce. But anyway, he is the Prime Minister of Poland. Here's the headline. Polish Prime Minister Designate Dreams of Re-Christianized Europe. Defends Poland's migrant policy. Of course, Poland's migrant policy has been to say no to the European Union and not permit all of these Muslim immigrants to come flooding into their country and create all the problems that they're seeing elsewhere in Europe. But this is his dream. Poland's prime minister designate Mateusz Morawiecki says he dreams of Europe becoming re-Christianized and is defending the migration policies of his ruling party, which have caused tensions with the European Union. Morawiecki gave his first interview since being designated prime minister, describing his dream of seeing an increasingly secular Europe return to its Christian roots. Now, it does say that he is a Catholic. It says, quote, the 49-year-old Catholic father of four said that, quote, unfortunately, in many places, carols are not sung, churches are empty and are converted into museums, calling this a great source of sadness to him. Then he goes on to defend Poland's immigration policy, which has been basically to say no, as we said before, to this flood of migrants into their country. Now, this is actually historically an appropriate role for Poland to play. It's actually a very appropriate role because the great king of Poland, John Sobieski, was the hero at the Battle of Vienna when the Ottoman Turks tried to invade Vienna. And of course, people believed that if they defeated the armies, the European Christian armies at Vienna, then what would happen is they would have, that would have been the doorway to Europe, and they would have been able to invade the rest of Western Europe. But it was the great Polish king, John Sobieski, who rode in with his army and put a stop to the invasion. And it's, I mean, it's just a very powerful story. I've always thought it would make a great film. Of course, the downside to Poland is that Poland is a Catholic country. And where Catholics are concerned, Catholics need the gospel. They need to turn away from praying to the Virgin Mary and trying to trust in Mary to deliver them. They need to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible as the Word of God. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to have to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.